always in the morning. It's a perek that's heavily involved halacha lemaisa, and that you have to find enough time to do an honest job on the melachas of this perek only, and the perek that follow are all really deep analysis of each of the melachas. When you analyze it properly, you realize that the Gemara didn't have all the shailas that we have nowadays, and therefore you have no choice but to go to the Achonim, the Shailas HaTshuvos, and see how they handled the questions, all of involving especially concepts of Derech HaMalocha, Darko Bekach. Just thought, and I want to jump right into what I handed out, this Kupas HaRochlin. And by the way, that's a nice title. What's Kupas HaRochlin mean? Anyone know?
No.
A peddler's pushcart. A Rochel is a peddler. The peddler's basket. He threw together, he's a peddler of Torah, and he threw together things that people want to buy. Notice what he did. In fact, I completed the photocopying. I gave you the last piece also on Chomets Nuksha. If you look at the introduction, that is the captions that he himself gave. This is the Tiferes Yisrael. Bo yivur zayin inyonim hanesrochem miod. Notice his flair for the poetic. El mu penei hamenoro yiru shiva saneros. These seven things will light up the menorah of Torah. Coming out of the woodwork, what's happening? How are
you?
You
started one, right?
Good to see you. Anything happened to you socially?
No, not yet. I'll let Rabbi know when it's going to happen. Mayor's been spreading rumors.
Not so many.
But the same lady is still distracting your attention?
Yes.
Okay. We want to focus on the first one. Klolei Lamates Melochos Shayochim Lepeg Zion B'Shabbos. You got it? Okay, if you don't mind, sign in and give me a means of contacting you too, put it on the telephone as well as the email address. I want to skip to Beis, okay? But first, we'll start the Gemara. In Aleph, he discusses Av and Toloda. What's an Av, what's a Toloda? In Beis, I want you to keep that in mind as we open up the Sugi here. Look at Beis. Omnom Be'ezer Ofen Teyosa Hamalocha Sheyishai Voleho. Yishayev always means chatos and miso. Chatos v'shogeg and miso v'hasro and eidim. Okay. And there's a mnemonic. Kigeshem mokok. Tzorech lozeh vov tzinoim. There are six conditions for an iso d'oraisa. Simon is K Kegeshem Makok. Right? And he spells it out. Kegeshem, Kulo, Gufo. Gotta do a whole melocha. Need a melocha atzricha legufo. Shinui, it has to be kedako. It shouldn't be done in an unusual way. Miskaven, you have to intend to do it. Mekalkel, it has to be constructed. Kiyum, it has to be of a lasting nature. That's it. As soon as you bump into a malocha, right, you gotta ask yourself, give me an example. I have to run through that checklist. Kegeshem or kok. Kulu, gufo, shinui.
Is there any machloket regarding these?
Sorry?
Is there a machloket? I mean, is this everyone agrees universally that these are needed?
That's,
or is there machloket about
this? No machlokas. What's called shinui may be a machlokas. But everybody agrees it has to be kedako v'kach. If it's shinui, not. Let me just make a comment, and we'll have to develop that from the text. If you want to start a meal on Shabbos, you put in wheat in a grinder, or you just push a button, right? And you chayev a chatas if you didn't know, if you warned, is misa. What about pushing it with your nose? Not my finger, I use my nose.
It's Durban.
It's a shinui.
It's Durban.
No. No shinui.
Why is that not shinui?
Okay.
Who flips the switch with their nose?
So, we'll just define it for you, we'll get to prove it to you later. Shinui means less successful outcome or more difficult melocha.
Well, can't you say that?
When you push it with your finger on the nose, same difficulty. The outcome will be perfectly the same. Therefore, it's not a shinui.
Why is the outcome?
Huh? Outcome is the grind the wheat.
Why is the outcome relevant? I thought it's all about the act itself.
Why what?
Kavod Rav, why is the outcome relevant? Why isn't it tell you on the act on the way it's done alone?
Why? I'm talking about
a meal
that's run by electricity.
Right.
Right. So I push the button. How I push the button? I push the button this way. I never push buttons that way. I push this way, right? That's a shinui, not shinui. Shinui has to be in the totsor of the malacha, right? Or in the darka hamalacha, the derech hamalacha. Yeah. And how do you find the shinui in the derech? Greater difficulty, more tircha. You may want to argue with me that maybe more tircha to...
Yeah.
Not that much more. The two of you, we miss you this morning. We had this Seder this morning. Also, I brought something for you. Start the Gemara.
Okay.
Start the Mishnah. Okay. Ovos Melochos Arboam Chosarachas. Azorea, the mother will tell us Sidur de Pas. I can make some assumptions. You all know that the Malachos we're talking about are not measured by sweat of the brow. It's not horsepower we're talking about. We talk about seichel, human power. Therefore, there's a concept of meleches machsheves. Meleches machsheves has in it, it's not the pshat of the word, but it should remember that way. It's a good way to remember it. And meleches machsheves means one, melocha chashuva, significant. Second, it was done b'machshava, done with intent. Okay. Meleches machsheves, however, the simple translation of the term means a melocha that was done in the Mishkan for constructive purposes. In order to remember it, the Gemara, what the melocha saw, the Gemara ran through basically two human industries, two social industries. One is bread baking, and second is, the way I like to remember it, the writing of a Sefer Torah, starting with preparing the parchment for the Sefer Torah. If you follow the steps involved in both industries, you get all the Lamates Malachos, with one exception, Hotor. Carrying Roshus to Roshus. Therefore, the Gemara calls it, refers it to as a Malocha Geruah. One that Ad Hayom is a Malocha Geruah. It suffers most from neglect than more than any other Malocha. Once upon a time, when there were, I like to say, three kinds of Jews, Frum, Frumer, and Frumist, right? Then the Frum people would carry in their pockets things that are also, like a handkerchief, like keys. They seemed to be Frum people. That one didn't make it, or so it didn't make it, right? Nowadays, since we lost all the Frum people, all we have is Frumer and Frumist. It's well known. So we have Hazorea, planting. Take each one and ask your own questions. The Gemara begins to make sense. What's called planting? Big machlokes rishonim. Is do you have to have the seed covered or not? Any of you people who have private homes, if you want to seed your lawn, there are two ways to seed your lawn. One, the way you do it, you take seed and you scatter over the lawn. Second, the way a fellow who charges you for it does it. He scatters over the lawn, then he puts straw on top of it. Right? Why does he put straw on top of it? So he can, then he can charge you with taking off the straw later. Right. Now, what's the purpose of straw on top of it? To cover the seed. Because when the seed is covered, the moisture stays with the seed and so on and so forth. So the big shayla here will see whether Zoraya requires kisui zoraim or not. Okay, next, Hachoresh. We're doing the Gemara, and give a lot of Aleph. The Mishnah. Hachoresh, plowing the ground. And what's called plowing? Something to make a hole in the ground? Or does Choresh require preparatory to making something grow? What if it's choresh without making anything grow? It's not a sidur de pas. My choresh is because I want to go ahead and prepare a basketball court. And therefore I dig up the ground and I'm going to put asphalt on later. Is that first stage also called Choresh or not? Every one of these melachos lack in the Mishnah definition, which the Gemara, by example, will lead to a conclusion which you'll never figure out without looking at Shulchan Aruch, see how they finally got to the end. One of the tricks in learning is always to cheat. And that is to look at the end of the murder mystery to find out that the butler did it. To know where you're heading for. That's going to be the maskana. Then I can fill in the details. That's the big advantage of looking at a sugya first, reading through the Rambam. That gives you a derech. I won't get fablundered too far. I'm not going to go too far off.
Doesn't that bias you, though, in terms of your leaning?
I'm sorry?
Doesn't it bias you if you do that?
Yes, because I am extremely biased. I want to know what Kodesh Baruch Hu said, not what I said. Of course. That's the whole idea. Okay, let me... As you learn during the year, I introduce many ancillary topics, all with intent. Okay. Then also that one. Let's go. So next, Hakotze. Okay. Harvesting. What about a tour that stopped growing? It's past the growing season. Is that called kosher? Or is it kosher dovo michayov? You have to remove something when it's still alive. When it's dead, maybe not. Just as we have a shayve in halacha, you have a piece of dead skin. Is that called a isul of kosher? Or machatech? By taking off some, you want to do your remove some cuticle on Shabbos, or you choose the expression, biting your nails on Shabbos, an isul that is widely violated by frum people who out of habit will bite their nails on Shabbos too. Something habituated, it's hard to stop. But when I notice it in someone, I call their attention to it. I remind them that for so many years, members of my shul would leave their cigarettes in the shul locker so they could light a cigarette up on the way home after Havdalah, because they can't wait to get home. Yet all Shabbos they didn't smoke. So it's possible to overcome a habit also, if the motivation is strong enough. The big motivation is God will punish you. It's also to do it. Okay, next. Bama Amer. Sidur de Pas, right? What's Ma'amer? I pile things up in a goren, in a silo, in a heap, in order then to be able to move it into storage, into kelim. You dropped a jar of peanuts can you gather them up on Shabbos? Or do you have to walk on the peanuts all Shabbos? Gemara will tell us something I just saw only a month ago when I was at Yisrael. On the Yam HaMelech, there's a little fellow who has a concession for preparing sea salt from the Yam HaMelech. You know where the Yam HaMelech is? If you're facing the Yam HaMelech, the extreme left border, there's a little factory there. What the fellow does is let the water from the Yam HaMelech into plain smooth out earth, right? He has a little shallow puddles he makes and waits for the Kodesh Baruch Hu to dry out the water. And then he scoops up that sand, which is salt, right? But what he does after that, I assume maybe he washes it again or something. The one who calls that ma'amir, gathering up the salt that's scattered in little pieces all over there, that's Issa Ma'amir. Mo'el gives that example. Hadosh. Okay. I think I could spend this one discussing only Melech's Dosh. What do you call Dosh? Give me an example of Melech's Dosh. Dosh is what? Threshing. I thresh to eat. Yeah. And how about squeezing an orange? How about squeezing lemon on the salmon that they serve at every Sheva Brochas, Chasaneh, etc.? You always get a piece of salmon with a piece of lemon on the side. That disho, squeezing the lemon. Or you like lemon in your tea, that disha. Could it be an iso deraisa? Yeah, it could be. Yeah. So we have, in my shul, I have a member, Barry Hachdorf, who runs the Granite Hotel, now called the
Hudson Valley Resort.
North what?
Hudson Valley Resort.
Hudson Valley Resort, something right there. Right. So he just got a note. He comes running in. What should I do? I got a note from the OU signed by Rabbi Schechter that he doesn't want them to serve any lemon on Shabbos except when they serve fish. But when they serve tea, they can't serve any lemon. He's telling a halacha there. I don't think he's right. I think it's also to serve lemon on fish also, as we'll see. But what's the problem? If people don't know, there's a way to use lemon behesha. But you got to be a Talmud Chacham for that. So it's easier not to serve lemon. That attitude, by the way, can make life very difficult. Every time there's a shayla, you say, oh, paskel l'chumra. Right? That ain't the way it's supposed to be. The halacha is halacha k'divrei hameikel, as the Rashi says, any idiot can be machmir, only a Talmud Chacham can be meikel. Next, hazore. No one the heck knows what that is, but I'll give you an example. What the Gemara says in Shulchan Aruch, that if the wind is blowing and you spit it into the wind, that's Iso Zora. You start off with something like that, then you know you have trouble already. How about using a pressure can to squirt out part of a whipped cream on your chocolate cake on Shabbos? It's also some, depending on the whipped cream, it's also because of high cholesterol. That's a separate issue. It's also a din of shmaltim, right? Is that called Zora? Zora means what? I take something and scatter it over a broad area using a spray can of some sort. Next, Haborer. Okay, I told you I can do the whole Zman on Dosh. I would need two years to do Borer. What's Borer? Okay, you all know there's a species that Kadosh Baruch Hu made called gefilte fish. Right. So the story goes that gefilte fish was invented by the Jews because of Isur Borer, because of the problem of taking the bones out of the fish. Ask anybody who grew up in the last few years under the thought control of the Haredim, and you know the examples. If you have a piece of fish in your mouth with a bone, you're supposed to take the fish out and leave the bone, because it can't be borer ra min ayofe, it has to be only yofe min ara. You have watermelons, that's why they invented seedless watermelons. You have watermelon with seeds, you get a piece of watermelon in your mouth with a seed in it, you're supposed to take out the watermelon, right, and swallow the seed, and spit out the seed. Swallow the seed if you want, no problem. Now we get complicated. How about you sitting at a Sheva Brachos on Shabbos, and the waiter comes around and he has on the tray, he has white fish and gefilte fish. He says, what would you like? You have to say to him, I'm not going to cause you to be over an Isur D'oraisa, you'll be borer one fish from the other fish. It's called Halacha L'maaseh by people who don't understand, who never learned Kol Gadol. That's called Borer. Or maybe, as we'll see, there's Rabbeinu Chananel soon, who says that Derech Achila, there is no Borer. Here's a new concept in Melechus Shabbos. My Malocha Shabbos. Next, it says here, Hatochen, to grind things up, to take big pieces and make them into little pieces. Which means you mustn't chew on Shabbos. You're supposed to swallow whole pieces. End up in the hospital usually after that, but. No, that's Hatochen. That's eating. Where's the boundary line between Derech Achila and Hachono L'Achila? Melocha is Hachono La. You see some of the Rabban, some of the other children mention what's called Melocha? The Melocha that a Eved does for you. The Melocha that you do Besoder. What's he trying to say? Actions that you take in order to prepare food to eat. But once you enter that stage of eating, it's no longer melochos. Melochos are preparatory acts. Hamarakeid. What's marakeid? You people with English translations, they get them right. They miss them up also, you should know. Yeah. Marakeid is sieving. Right? What, you have the English there? Yeah. What's he calling? Sifting. Oh, he got it right for a change. Okay. Yeah. Marakeid is, how about this one? Kesa Marakdin with Meyakawa. So I saw a beautiful shot. I have a sefer without covers. I left from my uncle's Chaylovacher. All I remember him telling me it was written by a Sfada Shagodol in Morocco. Wonderful sefer, Achumish. So he has there Merakeid, Kesa Meraktim Ve'akala. He says, Rabbi Nachman Meraktim, dance. How do you dance for a kala? He says, no. He says, Kesa Meraktim Ve'akala. He says, how do you sieve what's proper and improper in dancing for a kala? Nachmoyte B'Shamay V'Yiselel, he said, kala no v'chasuda. Or do you say kala kemoshe hi? Beis Hillel says you're supposed to sing kala no v'chasuda. Beis Shammai says you say kala kemoshe hi. You walk over to God and say you're an ugly looking thing. How the heck did you get that chosna? Kala kemoshe hi. Come to kala with a big nose. What can you do? Mr. Gemara says, "Tzulik, do you say Talik Moshi?" So again, Godol says very nicely, "Talik Moshi he." You walk over to the Kala and say, "How much Kodesh Bochel loves you, and you became a Kala, you have a Chosin. So many are not Zocher for that. That's Talik Moshi he. That she's like she's a Kala. Very, very insightful things." Okay. Some of the stuff I'm telling you is not in the Gemara. Next, Halosh. Ay ay ay. Anybody here who takes for digestive purposes a thing called the consul or psyllium seed, flax seed. No, it's common. Some people take it every morning. If you don't drink it quick, it forms a goo. That's what's to it inside. Oh, how about Mr. Shem, you have a family and travel this morning. The baby Baal Shem now can eat a little bit, so you use some baby cereal for the everybody use baby cereal. What's the advantage of baby cereal? Just add hot water and it becomes a paste of cereal. Is there Isolisha? Isolosh? The Halacha mentions, Mishabuah mentions the name of the Mogen Avraham. There obviously was a Meichel on Pesach in which you added matzah meal to mead, to med. Yeah, you know what mead is? Med, M-E-A-D?
It's an alcoholic drink.
Huh?
Made of honey.
It's a thick alcoholic drink.
What is it?
Alcoholic drink.
What kind of drink?
From honey.
Huh?
From honey. It could be from dates.
What happened to it?
Date honey.
It disappeared. I grew up. Every meal had on the table a bottle of meat, a bottle of honey wine. Yeah. I don't think anybody makes it anymore for some reason. That's when the old days when the Jews drank, there are two kinds of wine. There's expensive wine and good tasting wine. So once upon a time the Jews drank only good tasting wine. So make fun of us, sugary wine, sweet wine. So they convince us to drink, but expensive wine. It doesn't taste good. So they had med to make up for it. Then they took away the med also. But obviously, it was a well-known Michael in which you added matzah meal to med and made some kind of little concoction that was served as a dessert. Chokas, but that's Isolisha. Or do you say Ein Losh Achalosh? That matzah was once went through a Lisha process. Now you're going to make Lisha again? Maybe not. Okay? The same Shaila is if I want to make matzah on Yom Tov. Shaila Ein on Yom Tov. On Shabbos, I have matzah, I want to crumble it into small pieces. Is that an Isa Tochen? Or do you say, Ein Tochen Achat Tochen? Okay, next. Ha'ofer. Okay, very nice halacha. Okay. You bake. I put my cake or my challah in the oven and I take it out again. Oven is hot, I put it in and take it out, put it in and take it out. Not either almost like anything. Maybe you said the abono of ticha, I just said wasting your time. Mustn't waste your time on Shabbos. I leave it long enough, chayav misa. Right? Well, what if I put it in the oven and someone else takes it out? Will I overrun anything? Mo says, Echod, maybe as a kli, Echod, maybe as a mayim, Echod, maybe as a ish. Who is chayav? The one who brought the fire. One brought the fire, but he didn't do anything. He went ahead, oh, I ate some muksa. He didn't put the water on there. You charged on Pesach, on Shabbos for a maisa melocha that you did. Where's the melocha machshavas that you did? Nothing. The answer is, a melocha anase me'eleo. If without you it couldn't have been, then you're chayev. Well, maybe the first guy should also be chayev. A fellow goes ahead and puts a pot on the oven. He didn't light the fire yet. Next guy lights the fire. Didn't put the water in yet. Someone puts the water in. Next one lights the fire. Who did the melechas machshavas? Okay, next. Hagozes. Okay. Someone has a hair that's bothering him over here someplace. On Shabbos, he pulls it out. He's over on gozes. Gozes means, of course, shearing an animal. Right? A gozes hatzemel. Next, hamalavno washes it in order to whiten it. That's the malavain, in order to make it clean looking. Hamenapso, he combs it to separate the fibers. Batsovo, and he dyes it, right? And then the next series of melachos, you need text in front of you with pictures. But first, let's touch on sovo. That tzvia is also okay. So there's a big market. Cosmetics kosher l'Shabbos. Kosher cosmetics. Because there's isa tzvia for a man as well. To dye your skin is also awesome. So can a woman put on lipstick, knows enough, as we'll see soon. It's not mentioned specifically, but it's part of the bracha. Of memarech, taking wax and smearing it over a substance, part of the tanning process in preparing parchment. Right. We'll have it in soon. The end. We get to the end of it. A memarech. Right. So there's a big market out there for kosher l'Pesach cosmetics. So what? The lipstick is liquid lipstick. Right? And the powder is kosher powder. Whatever that means. And the rouge is iso memachik, because it's a waxy substance. You got to smear it and then put it on your face. It's sovo. You have two lavim over there. So they now have kosher l'Shabbos. all sheker, all not true. Okay. We have a member of our shul, Joseph Sutton, Dr. Sutton, a well-known Sephardi family. This Sutton is Sephardi Toho, that's where the Sutton name came from. Sutton. His son is Rovin Deal, New Jersey. He himself is a leading dermatologist. He's the dermatologist head of Avon Cosmetics. The fellow who runs his office to allow himself several hours a day of sitting in a colo. So when we came to, when we moved to Muncie, women began asking Shaila, what about cosmetics? Especially the young women who were still looking for shiduchim. So I used to tell them that, well, you can't use cosmetics anyway because you are over on Midvar Sheker Tirchok, trying to fool somebody into thinking that you're beautiful, right? And some of them, I tell them, you don't need a beautician, you need a magician. But they want to know, what about cosmetics? So Joseph Sutton took 20 of my members, 20 women, and lined them up and gave them the raw ingredients that go into the cosmetics. Yeah. And showed that the variation based upon one halachic requirement. I told you, we learned already quickly, one of the requirements in a malacha, it should be kayam, kegeshem makok, the kuf, kayam. You put it on and just wipe it off with a tissue, that's not soveya. That's what Igdos Moshe, my shver zatzal, as a tshuva. You could use the powder on your face. He's referring to white powder, talcum powder. I don't know why a woman want to put it on her face, but nevertheless, because it wipes off. He showed that that's not true. Then on one woman it wipes off, on another woman it doesn't wipe off. It depends upon the nature of her skin, pore size, oiliness, etc., etc. So no such thing as a kosher cosmetic for Shabbos. The test of a kosher cosmetic is it's not kayam, then it's kosher.
We're defining kayam.
How do you define kayam? As wiping off without solvent, just dry wiping off with a tissue.
Water is considered a solvent?
Well, then it's ready. With a solvent, I can dip her in Clorox and take off everything. Okay. Then goes a series which I leave it to you. I will make sure, if you want, I'll bring in there's a cartoon book that I bought for my children years ago. They left a copy home, so I have it. In cartoons of the Lamed Tes Melachos. You people have seen it, possibly?
Mm-hmm.
You have one?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's
if
great.
You have it handy next week, you bring it in.
Oh, bring it. It's great.
Pass around. There they have cartoon pictures of these next melachos, right? And that is Hatova, he weaves Hamesach, he prepares the loom. You have to visualize, these melachos have to do with a loom, and the loom has horizontal and vertical threads, and then something goes along and ties it together, right? So making the loom, etc., etc., these next things are all part of the looming of textiles, right? Hatova, Hamesach, Ose Shei Botinirin, Va'orek Shei Chutin, Va'potseya Shei Chutin, okay? opening, closing, all these are melachos done by a person running a loom. They don't impact upon us much, except for the potea there, which would really is duplication by kosher or matir. Hakosher v'amatir. As kosher or matir, making knots or untying knots. When I was in Palo Alto there, and a fellow, I have a granddaughter, his husband's the Rosh Kolo in Palo Alto. It's the known as the Platinum Kolo. There are 10 boys, they get $80,000 a year. No big deal. But rental costs $40,000 a year. No big deal. It's a crazy, crazy area where housing is also unavailable. $40,000? No, I'm wrong. $3,500 a month. What is that? Yeah, close to it, right? $45,000. Yeah. So a fellow gave a drosha there, and he mentioned he's a Baal Tshuva. And you know how he bemoans the fact that he can't make a double knot on his shoelace because of the Issa kosher. After he spoke, I called him over, asked him whether it's his custom to sleep with his shoes Friday night on, or taking them off, because if a shiro that's made l'chatchila for less than 24 hours is not called kosher, not even midrabanan. So if he sleeps with his shoes Friday night, it's a shayla. But if he takes his shoes off, then it's perfect, fine, to make a double knot in the shoelace also.
What if you make a What if you make a simple knot on your shoelace?
Yeah.
It's not a double knot, but you don't have to do it
the
entire
shop. The knot of a shoelace, the bow of a shoelace is most likely a kesher.
Really?
But it's not a kesher shel kayomo, that's mutol lechatchila. Let me, again, if you watch what happens in the Jewish community, how many people remember going glila, hagba glila, and they gave you a gartel to put on? The gartel was a gartel, which then when you finished wrapping around, you tied it somehow. Then came all the, I told you, the frum boys left us, all we had was frum and frumus. They began to argue, but if you make a bow on that gartel, you are making a kesher. So then the development of the gartel moved to a buckle, a clip buckle. But after a while they realized that buckle cuts into the parchment sometimes. So now we have, thank God, Kodesh Baruch Hu allowed for the development of Velcro. And therefore suddenly all gartel and not Velcro. That's for halacha of kosher. That's how it developed. Except for the Yeki's wimple, I all know what that is. There, that makes no difference since it's 40 yards long. And you wrap it around, then just tuck it in, it's no problem. That, by the way, is a nice mimic, that wimple. Are people familiar with it?
No.
Your background is Sfaradi?
Yeah.
No, I wouldn't know about it. Now Ashkenazi wouldn't know about it either.
Yeah.
So you have a few Yekis in the shul where they're either by a bris or by a bar mitzvah. they have a, I mean, it, certainly it's 7-8 yards long and embroidered with the boy's name and flowers, etc., etc. And that's donated to the shul to use it. Special schus have his name wrapped around a sefer Torah. Kosher is the key melocha that requires kiyum. Without kiyum, there's no kosher. Okay. If you look in, what I gave you, look at the Kakel and Shabbos, he has there, where is this? Look on the Kayam, on the second page, Vav kiyum, kol melocha shein lo kiyum potur, dov hazeh lo shayich bezoreya v'choresh v'otik v'dome, rak b'ksas melochos. Right? You see it? The end of the first little paragraph on the second column. Right? The key melocha, ksas melochos, the key one is kosher. That's where kiyum is the factor. The two factors in kosher, you need Kesher shel umnus, a skilled thing, and kayim. Both together, one only, is it? Next. Kosher umatir, right? Batofer state firos, Bakorea amalas litro state firos, to sew two stitches. One stitch is no good because it's not kiyum, it won't stay. Two stitches, then one ready can hold for a while. That's why these two stitches. Bakorea amalas litro, to tear a piece of cloth because you are busy sewing a dress or sewing a suit, so you're cutting it for the intent of now putting it together differently, right? Or Hatzot Tzvi, that's where you start your writing of a Sefer Torah, by first catching a deer, right? I have in my shul a Sfada Sefer Torah on deer skin, deep yellow. Have you seen Sfada Sefer Torah that are deep yellow color?
Older ones.
Not
yeah.
white.
Yeah, yeah. Older ones tend to be yellow.
Yes, no one uses it anymore. The old ones, why they use deer skin? Deer skin is fabulous for making parchment, it's thin, etc., etc. Just it's tinted. It has a. It's not the aging that made it yellow. It's the chatzila. It's yellowish skin. Yeah. Hatzot Tzvi. Okay. Nice sugi we'll have in the Gemara. A deer ran into your house. Every now and then you hear such a story, especially nowadays where the deer population is exploded. In Muncie. It's not uncommon. Somehow the street I'm on seems to be too busy, but a little further down where the Tuvia's parents live, yeah, there are always deer walking around. Yeah. So one walked into your house. Boy, what an opportunity. One, to practice shrita. Number two, to have a venison. Right? So you close the door. He got in because the door was open, so you slammed the door shut. You're over on Tzad Tzvi. It's the Iso Daraisa. But what about opening the door? He crashed through the window, which is a case that we had amongst it. The deer crashed through the porch. The sliding door of the porch. Okay, now he's in. Okay. So, can you go ahead? Since he went in, right, and there are, without knowing that the deer was there, other people came to visit. They saw the broken glass, so they stopped there. Obviously, the deer is not going to go out that way because there are people standing there now. So you tell the people, hey, please take a chair and sit down. You're not over on Sod because he's Sod already. But I have to go out. So when I open the door, please sit down in the chair where I open the door. Have I broken the Sod and each one contributes to Tzedo? Or you say, no, since there was no gap during which time the deer was free to leave, then I can ask you to sit there for a while. You have to go away someplace. I get someone else to sit down next to you, and then you leave, and that way the deer will stay around until the Shoshet comes. Okay. Nice sugya here in the Gemara. Next. Hashochto. Okay. Here you have a very important halacha. The Gemara doesn't mention here, it's mentioned in the Rav Lezer de Mila. What's the issur of shechting an animal? Tosfos, one of Masbir very nicely, it's the issur of netilas neshama. No issur of cutting the neck, that's such issur. Issur is taking out lifeblood, causing lifeblood to leave the animal. Called Netilas Neshama. The Gemara says, if I get angry at you and I strike you on Shabbos and I make a bruise, that's Issur D'oraisa. Shaila is Baruch Sichel Gufo. Rambam says, yes, to vent my anger is also constructive. I didn't kill anybody. All I did was cause blood to break out of some little vessels, and now it's under the skin, make a black and blue mark. That's the Kilas Neshama. Why? That blood belongs in the circulatory system. It doesn't belong under your skin.
I thought you were allowed to be Boel a Petula on Shabbat.
That's where we're getting to. Good, Ben. Yishar Koach. Gemara, two Gemaras will have. One in Shabbos, and one in Birkat Ezer the Mila. Gemara in Ksubas, and Avhei asks, can you make a chasen on Friday? Every Jew in Europe knew that a chasen is made only on Friday. Why?
Every Shabbat meal, and you have the...
Huh?
You have your Shabbat meal and the wedding together, you kill two birds with one stone.
Why?
Meat's expensive.
Because it's cheaper.
Yeah.
You have to make a fancy meal, a Shabbos meal, to can't afford to. That's the reason.
That's what I thought. I mean.
Yeah. So, but can you consummate the marriage Friday night? You're making a chabura, dam psulim. The Gemara says, dam mizbach chover? No, dam mifkat pokid. The blood is, Rashi explains, you look at the Lashon Rashi, the blood is encapsulated in a little capsule, if it's not part of the circulatory system. Not exactly what it is. Of course it's part of the circulatory system. Look at Gemara Lezer de Mila. Gemara asks, Mila Docha Shabbos? Says, no, maybe not. Maybe Mila is Dam Mifkat Pocket. The blood is like Dam Sulin. I said, no. Dam Michbachoga. That's a chabura. Elabar, Mila Docha Shabbos. What's the chiddush between the two? Why in Ksubas they pass him dam mifkar pokin, and by Mila dam chavuri mechver. Okay, here's the Hezbollah. Look in Tosfos, he calls it Nitilas Neshama. What does Nitilas Neshama mean? That blood belongs in you, doesn't belong to Yara Rapor. What about a woman? When Kadosh Baruch Hu made women, he made every single woman has a little bit of blood that doesn't belong to her, that's supposed to be expended in order to fulfill her duties in life. You can't call that Netilas Neshama. Therefore, the Gemara asks, what about by Mila?
Right.
Every Jewish boy must give up that blood.
Right.
But there are Goyim who don't do it. We're not required to. You can't tell me that humanity has blood that's intended to be expended. Because it doesn't apply to God. It's only a special mitzvah. Olecha haragnu kol hayom. We kill our children because of the Kodesh Baruch Hu. As I mentioned this morning, only two mitzvahs that Kodesh Baruch Hu requires you to suffer pain. Mila and Yom Kippur. Therefore, by Mila is Dal Mechus Chabura. That blood under your skin, because I gave you a Zetza there, that blood does belong there, that belongs inside. Therefore, it's Ntilas Neshama. Doesn't mean till I killed you, no. Ki Adam Hu Hanefesh. Dam is Ntilas Neshama. Okay, you got the picture.
I don't mean to be too mitzvahic in the Lashon, but isn't there a difference between Nefesh and Neshama in terms of...
I'm sorry?
We're saying Nitzilat Neshama
referring
to Dam.
Don't worry about it.
Where the Pasuk is Adam Hu Nefesh, so if Nefesh is referring to Dam, and Neshama is referring to something like the life force, meaning...
We don't doubt ourselves. We only repeat what the Rebbe taught us. Okay, now I'll tell you, I got a little digression. It's more important than some of the other things I say. Sorry to say that again. Rabbi Yoshev Shlite, a few months ago, issued a ruling, which I'm sure he has the slightest idea what was said in his name, that a woman who had an egg from another woman, so-called ovum transfer, who is the mother? Woman couldn't have her own eggs, so she got an egg. They call it donor egg. It's not a donor. You pay a lot of money for it. And now she gave birth to a baby. Who is the mother? The egg was donated by some college co-ed who was running around in a bikini on the beach. And the doctor who's in charge calls her up and says, Mazel tov, you just became a mother. That's how he paskens.
Really?
That the mother is the genetic mother, not the birth mother. 22 years ago, he wrote a tshuva that the birth mother is the mother. Now he changed his mind. But he changed his mind. They changed their mind. Who are they going to learn this? But it's a chuvim. Why? There are generations already, a second generation of kids who are goyim, according to him. Because the usual source of the egg is a shiksa. Our Jewish girls don't usually do it. So, she's a shiksa. Gave birth. Her children are shiksas. The grandchildren are shkotsim. A chuvim, I mean. Irresponsible kind of stuff. So, in the last issue of Yeshua, they had everybody chiming in on this shaila. Everybody wrote, not worth reading. A wonderful issue, but because you see how people can talk nonsense. And one fellow There's one decent posek left in Eretz Yisrael. Zalman Nechemya Goldberg. Nobody else has a straight head. But no one else has the courage not to follow the agenda, the Haredi agenda. He writes on this issue, I must tell you, wild stuff. He got into Kochim. What the heck he was trying to do, basically not to answer the question. Then he sums up a paragraph for which it should be really published, and everyone should carry it in his pocket. He says, we boast, our boast is that we have a Masorah. Halacha was not invented by you, not by me. Halacha is, as Kadosh Baruch Hu taught Moshe Rabbeinu, who taught Yoshua, as you have in the beginning of Pirkei Avos. I am confident to pass a shaila to you because my Rebbe taught me that way. To the extent that I am accurate in repeating a rendition of the halacha that I learned, my halacha is accurate. And he said pretty much this way, who the heck are you to paskin this shaila? Which Rebbe did you have that answered the shaila of an ovum donation, of an ovum donor? It didn't exist such a shaila before. So where do you have the chutzpah to say, I'm going to paskin that shaila? Say you don't know, that's proper. Then we'll paskin the way we have to paskin. Sopit Yisur al-Khumra, Sopit Abad al-Khumra, and say, I know how to paskin. And therefore, you paskin the shaila like I've been doing for the last 20 years. I make a geros l'chumor. I have now coming up two little girls ready. Baruch Hashem, there. As soon as the Yom Tov comes, I make the geros. Why? One will be 4 weeks. One will be 6 weeks old. And we're going to drop them into a mikveh. Why? Because Yom Tov is coming. And they can't even warm a bottle for a shayitz. You can't cook for a goy on Yom Tov. So to make life easy, make them all Jews. So we'll dunk them. But this line of Zalman Nechemya Goldberg, where do you get the chutzpah to paskei the shayla? Shayla, you're telling me, svore? Tshuva, yeah, right, tshuva is no problem. You want to tell me what to do? Halacha l'maisa, how do you know? Your Rebbe taught you? Your Rebbe never taught you that. Therefore, be moda, you can't pass the shayla. Then we know what to do. There's no teku in the Gemara. Never teku in the Gemara. Teku means he says, I couldn't answer the question you asked me based upon the facts you gave me. But I always go back, I know a Jew can't live with teku. A Jew has to know what to do. Our boast is we have mitzvahs maisios that know what to do. If you don't know what to do, then you can't tell me teku. Then go do what you want. I said, no. If there's a teku, why don't I go back to my principles? Sofet ha'raisu b'chumet, ha'raon b'chumet, bos ha'rov, bos ha'chazok, etc., etc. We always know how to answer the shayla halacha l'maisa. The people following all the stuff. Yeah.
If we're saying the suffix, if it's a Jew of Chumra and with an Andrew of Chumra, wouldn't we be able to feed the child on Yom Tov anyway because of Kuch Nefesh? Wouldn't we be able to feed the child, the infant, anyway on Yom Tov because of Kuch Nefesh? If it's a Jew, we should go to Chumra and we should be over on Yom Tov and feed it.
Well, who? And the baby you're talking about?
Yes.
Kuch Nefesh? Why is it Kuch Nefesh?
Well, if he doesn't eat on Yom Tov, he's probably not going
to
make it through.
I don't have to.
Cook
for on Shabbos, I have a refrigerator. I don't cook for on Shabbos. I don't cook for on Yom Tov. I don't cook for on Shabbos. I manage on Shabbos. I'm not doing cooking on Shabbos. What if I do on Shabbos? I do on Yom Tov. But on Yom Tov, no, I want to give a chicken soup. You can't put extra chicken in the soup or extra water with the chicken, or whatever they do with chicken soup. I have two chickens run through the water, like the caterers do. Okay? The danger of asking a question in this class is you get an answer. That's the problem. Okay. Supposed to dabble with the oil downstairs, though.
If we have a minion, we could have him here.
We have a minion?
Yeah,
yeah, we have down here. Very good.
We have down here.
It violates the dean's rules, but okay. Less dean, less diet. Okay. Next. Hama'abed esovo. I'm sorry. Hatzotzvi, hashochto, hamafshito. To skin the animal is a daraisa. Hamocho, to preserve the leather, to make leather from it, to preserve the hide, it'll spoil, so you have to salt it. So, obviously, on Shabbos, we don't have a geshochte, an animal, to worry about the hide. But Yom Tov, Noah says, we want you to shecht an animal on Yom Tov. Remember the time of no refrigeration. I expect you to shecht an animal in the morning and make something nice for Yom Tov. But then it's a terrible loss after Yom Tov, that hide is already going to be useless. Bacteria begin to grow, if it's full of blood. So what Eichvah says, well, you got to salt the meat. Remember, you put the hide on the floor, and when you salt the meat, salt liberally. Huh. So salt will fall on the... And we allow that haroma, allow that because the kvod Yom Tov. Okay? Next. Ha'ma'abed es ovo. Part of Igud Ovo is mechanically handling it.
Sorry, Kozor, can you repeat that? Mechanically handling
it? Rubbing it, twisting it, mechanically manipulating the eye. That's part of Igud. Ma'memachko, smooth it out. Ma'machek. Ma'machatko, cut it to size. Not just cut it to, because you will be making a safer Torah, you want to cut the hide into parchment, into a folio size. That's be a chituch with a kavona, right? That should be a constructive act. Otherwise, it's korea, you're just tearing it. Hakosev seosios, vahamochek amnas nitzl seosios, habone, put a nail in the wall, bone. How about closing the door when it was open? You finish the wall, your bone, you built a wall now? Well, no, the door was on hinges, laid for that purpose. Comes along the Chazon Ish and says, if you throw a switch,
bone.
On Shabbos, you also al bone. You completed the circuit.
So according to him, you can't close the door either on Shabbat.
Huh?
So according to the Chazon, you shouldn't be able to slam the door shut on Shabbat either.
Okay.
Right?
According to
the Chazon, Svara.
Right.
That's bone to flip a switch.
Right.
It's bone to close the door also. So according to the Chazon, it should be usher to close the door on Shabbat, because it's bone.
Yeah. Obviously, he was mad to that. Yeah. What's his tiny, although my shvel and the egos rejects the rationale for the same reason. It's no different than closing a door. Yeah. His concept, I believe, to defend his position is a new kind of creation happens when you throw that. When I open the door and close the door, I haven't done anything new. When I throw a switch and close a circuit, it's more than just putting together two pieces of wire. I now made that wire able to carry a current, and therefore that's the boner. In other words, there was a constructive consequence of this. Next, Hamachabe. המחבה סנה בני שויורי מפני גויים בני ניסנו רוחו או בשביל החולה של ישו פוטו. Those who say במה מדליקים before my rev on Friday night. Don't say kai gavno. No, we say that. What's called kibui? Kibui has to be constructive. What's constructive about kibui? The answer is I'm making charcoal. By taking wood and letting it burn for a while and then extinguishing the flame, I now have a better wood for future use. I got rid of the volatiles, I now have what they call charcoal. That's the main mechabe that they talk about. Lasos pechom, to make charcoal. That's constructive. But then the question is, no, I put out the light because I couldn't sleep. Is that called constructive or not? Next, Hamake Bepatish. Okay, here we open up a whole big tumult. Open up a soda bottle top on Shabbos. You have a bottle of Coca-Cola, and you want to open it up on Shabbos. What do you have to do to open up the on Shabbos? So, you can, if it's a plastic bottle, you can dig a hole on the bottom, take a knife, stick it in the bottom, and take out the soda that way. Not so posher that that's mutter. However, to take off the cap is an isur d'oraisa. Why? Because that cap is not a cap until you rip off that little rim on the cap that makes it into a cap. It's put on by a machine. Machine crimps it in. Now that's not a cap that's useful. Not unless you tear off that strip around it. By tearing off that strip, I made that kisui into a crap that can be reused over and over again. That's a makah bepatish. An act that ends up, a final act that ends up with a gemar melacha, something which I've accomplished. That's makah bepatish. In the gemar example it is, I don't fully understand the example the gemar gives, because they talk about the anvil. I had an anvil, right? And I was working on it, and on Shabbos, there's one more zetz I give on the anvil to smooth out the anvil for future use, to take off the marks that I made on it. But that's a bad example. We don't understand what kind of anvil they were talking about. If a makah bepatish is any act that leads to increase utility, even though it doesn't fit to any other melachos. The fact that it became a constructive act, that is an issur in itself. And then comes the orphan, O-R-P-H, the orphan melacha. That's one of the difficult melachos. Whole thing is complex. It's the first panic. We'll get to it also, Mr. Shem. Yeah. It's hard for people to understand what the melocha is. It's called the melocha gehua. What did I do? What my accomplishment? I took a handkerchief, put it in my pocket, and walked out with it on Shabbos. What did I accomplish? It's the Isur d'oraisa. Right. Elu Ovos Melochos Aboem Chosarachas. Those are your 39 Melochos.
Regarding the caps on the bottles, is there going to be a difference between the metal caps and the plastic caps?
Sorry?
Regarding the caps on the bottles, will there be a difference between the metal caps and the plastic caps?
Which kind of caps?
The metal or plastic?
What do you mean? Metal caps are always metal. No, caps here don't. Yeah, the metal caps. I don't remember seeing metal caps anymore. Beer can. A beer bottle cap, which you lift off, and now making a cap. The cap was a cap before, put on, and you take it off, you put it back on again. Yeah. But the plastic cap, which, if you saw the cap before, it was crimped on by a machine, could be used as a cap. It has no ability to fit onto that bottle, because that rim is in the way. Right? Now, when I rip off that rim, sometimes you can possibly remove the cap without breaking the rim, depending on it happens sometimes. Yeah, then you can't use that cap again until you take off that rim. Won't fit out again. Won't make a tight closure until you take off that rim.
Are we going to discuss the lashon of arba'im chaser achat?
Yeah.
Why it's that lashon versus just saying 39?
Eile advorim asher diber Hashem. Eile is 36. Eile advorim asher diber, and dvorim is double lashon two, and diber is one. So you have 36 and three is 39. Therefore, sabom chosarachas. Now you ask a question, you get a straight answer.
So why say shloshim b'tesha?
Why say malchus avom chosarachas?
Not really supposed to be 40, but we don't give you 40 lashes because you're gonna die.
I have no answer to the question. It seems to be, remember, it's Rabbi Yehuda Nosi writing the Mishnah, who was very meticulous in the wording that he used. Somehow that expression, instead of saying 39, to say 40 minus 1, maybe because it's used by Malchus, the same thing, Avraham Chosarachas, just a lot. I'm not missing anything special. Yerushalmi has this Eila Dvorim Asher Diber. So Eila is 36, and Dvorim is 2, and Diber is 1, so you have 39, therefore you don't have 39. I doubt that that's why we have 39 malachos. But it's again, a mnemonic, oops, wait, maybe remember post. Okay. Oh, if tomorrow